Hi everyone, this is Tom Jacobs and we're going to get started here. It's 10 a.m. here in Arizona, so let's just jump right in. These free calls that I'm doing, they will all include a channeled message as well as a look at the astrology of some things that are going down at present and how that message fits into it. About 2 months ago, there was a call entitled Rethinking Responsibility, where Jehudi came through for about half an hour, and then the rest of the hour, I spoke about the astrology of Mars retrograding in Virgo, Saturn retrograding in Libra, and Neptune entering Pisces, those three major events. They were going to focus on Uranus and Aries and the Sun conjuncting it today, and the recent vernal equinox or the spring equinox, and also the new moon in Aries that happened recently that was 2 degrees off retro Mercury in Aries and 2 degrees off Uranus. So it's kind of a big Arian week for us. So I'm going to set the stage first by giving you a rundown of all this Aries stuff that's happening, where it's happening in your chart. So I'm going to give you some ideas on the parts of life that are affected in your life based on what house it's in. Now, some of you may not know off the top of your head where 2 to 4 degrees Aries lies in your chart. So my suggestion is you go to astro.com after the call, or you can while we're doing this now, and you can get a free chart there. And it's pretty straightforward under the free horoscopes, and you can look for something like chart drawing ascendant, I think is what it's called. And then it would ask you to put your data in if you don't have an account there. And the account's free. It's no big deal to set one up. But I'm going to do that. And then with that in mind, based, you know, what all this Aries stuff is asking you to look at regarding freeing yourself from history, after that, I'm going to open it up for the Ascended Master Jehudi, a.k.a. Thoth or Toth or Saint Germain and Merlin, to come in and kind of put that in context. And he's going to introduce himself like usual, but then he's also going to, I believe, sometimes I don't always know what he's going to do, but what it smells like he's going to do is then talk about what history is and how and why to free yourself from it. So this is going to be a channeled thing. And so at that time, he's going to ask you to, for this first part of the call, don't worry about this, but he's going to ask you to probably close your eyes and send cords into the earth. He might even lead us through a brief grounding meditation together, because his intention is always that he affect our consciousness, that he affect parts of us that are unwilling to be in the present tense or be in the present moment, to release history and unsure how to evolve. And he's kind of like everybody's kind big brother or uncle figure that we don't always see that often, but you look forward to these family reunions because you know that this supportive figure is going to be there. And so he wants us to evolve, and what he does is he holds space for us to figure out how to relax into adjusting to his vibration. So just a note on that, when we get to the part where we feature that unseen friend, I'll probably ask you, or he will, to send cords into the earth and listen to his message with your eyes closed. But until then, feel free to look up your chart or whatever. This freeing yourself from history, basically, as we look at the chart wheel and we look at what everybody, you know, has going on in different parts of the wheel, essentially we have all developed identities around certain preferences and habits when it comes to personal expression. So let's just jump right in with all this Aries stuff in the first house. Actually, let me say something about the equinox and then the new moon. And now today, about 20 minutes after the call is over, the sun will perfect its conjunction to Uranus at 4.5 degrees Aries. So let me just say something about this equinox and new moon. Every year, when the sun enters Aries, it's wrapping up a cycle which always begins with Aries and then culminates with Pisces. And the process goes from beginning something new or bursting onto the scene or being in touch with our instinctual nature in Aries to kind of processing all the way around the wheel to the point where we get to Pisces, which is about surrendering what we've created. So in Aries, we actually don't know what we're creating. And in Pisces, we've seen it, we've done it, we've seen all the ramifications and invitations about it. Everyone else has seen it. Everyone else has contributed or blocked us or, you know, kicked us in the gut or given us kudos. And then Pisces, we let it go. So when every year in late March, when the sun enters Aries, it's time to renew. It's a new cycle beginning. And every year for you, because you have a particular energetic imprint, which is reflected by your chart, every year you have a sense of renewal in a certain part of life. You will feel the impulse to do something new, to burst onto the scene in some new way, wherever Aries is in your chart. So we go from a solar month, 30 days, of Pisces, of surrender, water, you know, the invitation to have compassion, to let go of the past. And then we hit Aries, and suddenly we all get plugged in. And we have to act, we have to do something, but we have to trust our instinct in order to do it. There's a huge thing about Aries energy being about being in action, but perhaps not thinking first. In Aries, our best strategy is to trust instinct, trust our body, be fully in our body and not overthink things, and frankly, not think at all. You know, the opposite is Libra, where we deliberate, we observe, you know, we check in with others, we ask opinions, we listen to others. In Aries, we just do. We have to do. In order to be healthy when the equinox comes around every year, we have to take assertive, self-interested, bold action. So that's just about the equinox, this you know, once a year thing thought of as the astrological new year. You know, some people would work with the winter solstice, you know, because of the birth and death of the sun, et cetera. And other people really focus on this the sun's ingress to Aries as the astrological new year. Essentially, we're all filled with the, you know, verve and vigor and vim to get things done. So that's that. Now, right after that, within a couple of days, we had a new moon in Aries at 2 degrees Aries. So a new moon is, again, it can be about new beginnings, and it's about feeling from the inside out something that needs to get done, something that needs to happen. And so in Aries, again, this newness, this sense of, you know, new things. It was 2 degrees off retro Mercury, which was at 0 Aries just before it went back into Pisces. And it was also 2 degrees off this Uranus, about 4.5 Aries. And so those two energies are wrapped up in that new moon. So you're supposed to feel into the dark, into your inner heart of hearts, into your sense of instinct of what's happening in your life and what's going on. And you're supposed to break free of something, but you're also supposed to not think about it too much. Retro Mercury in Aries, you can't think straight is one of the things that's going on with this. I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of you have had situations this week where, you know, you're kind of going about your business and doing what you need to do, and something under the surface threatens or seems like it's going to take over, and meaning you have to deal with something that kind of comes up from under the surface. All of this energy, this retro Mercury in Aries, provides an environment that we can sense into things. We can not think through things in a linear, rational way as we usually are, but we can sense into something, gain really fabulous insights instinctively. The Uranus here, again, instinctive and freeing yourself from any limitations and any sense of being fenced in or hemmed in. So this new moon is really, as far as I'm concerned, an invitation to honor instinct. Most of us have been trained to live in our heads, and for thousands of years have done incredible jobs living in our heads. Well, with all this stuff happening in Aries, we don't have a choice but to get into our body, to feel the electrical impulses, to feel our emotions. None of these things is necessarily about emotions, but when you get this impetus to free yourself, or this electric shock that ideally you'll use to free yourself, usually our emotions are affected underneath the surface by what is not allowing us to feel free, or what through which we have not allowed ourselves to feel free. So that's kind of the thing on the new moon. Now, when this call is over, it's at about 11:20 Pacific time, so a little over an hour from now. The sun will conjunct Uranus, exactly. Right now, it's about 4 minutes, 3.5, 4 minutes away from, not time-wise, but of arc, of making that conjunction. So we're all feeling it. And when the sun, every year, comes up to Uranus, the giant flashlight in the sky basically puts its light on what you need to do to feel free. You know, humans are creatures of habit, and also when our brains run things, the rest of us can feel a little lagging behind and ignored. When sun conjuncts Uranus every year, and it's obviously a different sign, about every 7 years, but when it conjuncts Uranus, you have clarity, even if you're not rational about it. Sometimes you are, but sometimes you're not, especially in this setup with the retro Mercury conjunct it. But even if you're not rational, you have a sense, an awareness that you have to break free of something. Most people, this Uranus effect in general, will have your skin crawl, or you're kind of like energetically, you're itching, and you might not be able to put your finger on what it is, but you just want to shake whatever it is off. You just want to burst out and, like, the images of shrugging violently off the shackles of whatever, whatever contains you, whatever confines you. So this week, that is kind of all these events leading up to this conjunction today. And I planned this call, this idea. I was kind of sitting, and I kind of asked Yehudi what he felt might be coming up next, and he was like, "Free yourself from history and do it on that day." So I was like, "Great," and we'll schedule it. And so now I want to go in to where all these things are happening in everybody's chart. So I just want to go through, and I would tell you about each of the 12 houses briefly. Probably take maybe 8 or 10 minutes, and then we'll go into inviting our friend to come in and give us some context for all of this from the bird's eye view. So if all this stuff at 2 to 4 degrees Aries is happening in your first house, this is about your body, your personality, your choices, and how you present yourself. Now, when I all these things together are, so to speak, unconscious expressions. Stuff in the first house and stuff that happens in the first house tends to happen, in this Aries way of it just bursts on the scene. It just is what it is. And for people who carry energies in the first house, we don't always know that we do that until we receive reflection from other people who say, "Oh, you're like that, aren't you?" So if this is happening in your first house, how you treat your body, including health, including how you run the energy of sexuality, how you manage your energy in general, because this means that you're transiting Uranus is in your first house, and you have this cosmic invitation to free yourself at all costs. Lots of times, Uranian events tend to be water behind the dam events, where that final drop, releases billions of gallons of water or something. And so if it's in your first house, you're going to be feeling in your body, in your bones, in your muscles, in your skin, that something needs to change. It has to do with how you move your body, how you treat your body, how you conceive of your body versus how you let your body be what it is and do what it needs to do. Moving on to the second house, this is a house of self-esteem. It's a house of value system. It is a house where we relate to the physical world through our senses, but it has a tremendous amount to do with what we can do and how we conceive of its value. So there's a little chain in the second house about what you find most important guides what skills you are inspired to gain or gather, and then after that, you decide how good you are at them, which is a self-esteem angle, and then you figure out how to turn them into money, and therefore ultimately so that you have resources so that you can ensure survival. So we look at the second house and we see money. That's usually what we do. And we see our relationship, our emotions about money, but it's really about self-esteem, self-worth, what you think you're worth, and how much you allow yourself to believe in your own value as a being, as a human, as a whatever. So this, all this Aries stuff happening in your second, you need a renewal as far as how you conceive of your own value. Sometimes in metaphysical circles, we hear that love is the answer to everything, and it's true. And for if you're having this happen in your second house, self-love is the answer to whatever ails you right now. The second house is also this house of, this is how I teach it anyway, that there's a certain level of intentionality that goes with life in the second house. You know, this is the house related to, one of the houses related to Venus, and it's associated with Taurus and the image of the bull. And the bull cannot be moved because the bull believes it has the right to its position. And the bull has just decided to get grounded and to stand where it is standing. And so there's a certain level of intentionality that ends up creating self-esteem, meaning you can love yourself because you can commit to a position. Now, I'm just inviting you to make sure the position you commit to really works, is not a defensive strategy or something, but if you can find your way through to loving yourself in the ways that nobody else seems to have loved you, then you're in a good place with the second house. Just believing in the fact that you deserve to be validated and loved and to be compassionately accepted at all times. So if this all Aries stuff is happening there, you need a renewal in that part of life. You need to basically allow the part of you that's ready to instigate renewal to do it and not think yourself out of taking care of yourself better in those ways so that your self-esteem is enriched. In the third house, this is about mind, and it's about perception and communication. The thing about the third house that underlies everything is a sense of perception. So if this is happening in your third house, it will affect information in and out, you know, which you're willing to listen to others and gathering information, what questions you may ask or not be willing to ask. But the real bottom line is what you think is happening. Every single one of us sees life through a lens. And when you have a sense of renewal or an invitation to renew something in your third house in this way, then it's time for you to stop thinking you know what's happening and to stop thinking that you already can see what's coming and to allow something new to generate from the inside out. Many times in the third house, we will observe the reality around us in certain ways, and we will scan the environment, and we will be aware of where we are. And this is a natural way to do this. But when you have the sense of Aryan renewal in your third house, you have to generate something. You have to open the door, put down the walls, like what's this image is like. There's a moat, and the bridge has to be put down so that energy can be exchanged within and out you, within and outside of you. But you have to allow the instinct part of you to initiate some kind of communication. And that will require that perception be modified. Okay, in the fourth house, we look at this and we say family and emotions. And fourth house is really our inner psychic basement. It's who we are when nobody else is around, when all the lights are off. And so all this Aries stuff happening in your fourth house has to do with your emotional foundation. Family does get tied into that. Your present home does get affected by that. But basically how you feel about your inner foundation is everything with this fourth house. So what is it that you need? How do you care for yourself? What is nurturing for you? What do you want your home to energetically be like? What do you want your inner circle of friends and your relationships with family? How do you want those relationships to be? This has a lot to do with the fourth house. It also has to do with safety and security. Add these other lunar themes other than family. And so if this Aries business is happening in your fourth house, you probably need to free yourself from some inner constriction about your right to express emotions, your right to feel what you feel. And in Aries, you might have to stand up for yourself in your family or in your home in order, you know, if this is happening in your fourth house in Aries, in order to establish some better boundaries and make sure that you are really speaking up for yourself, that you are really adequately representing yourself. Moving on to the fifth house, we look at it as the house of creative expression and fun and play, and also sex before it gets really deeply bonded, like in the eighth house. And in the fifth house, really the bottom line is personal expression and being seen as an individual, but primarily seeing yourself as an individual. So whatever creative impulses you have, they may or may not result in creative products. But the fact is, with this Uranus business, Arium Uranus business happening in your fifth, it's time for a renewal regarding your creative self-expression. Time to free yourself from any reasons you've thought yourself into that prevent you from expressing yourself boldly and freely. And with any of these Sun Uranus things, the ultimate goal is that you are free enough to be aware of everything and to be exactly who you are. That's the goal of all Uranian freedom fighting, so to speak, is to just be exactly who you are, no matter what the status quo you encounter may have to say about it. Now, in the sixth house, and this is actually where mine is, and a lot of my thinking today has been informed by this because I've, I'll just tell you this, and then I'll share a moment of my personal experience. In the sixth house, it is about daily routine, and it's about health. This is kind of how we look at it. It's about responsibility and duty, but it's also about how we perceive ourselves in relationships that may not be equal. So in the seventh house, the next one is where we, you know, where we learn how to give and take. But the sixth house is where we work on things to get better at things in order to share them with others. But we may actually be experiencing things that are not that equal. And this is the way we learn. We learn from people who are more experienced than us, and we teach people who are less experienced than us. And so the sixth house, involving all that, you know, through the lens of duty and responsibility, et cetera, has everything to do with learning through unequal relationships as well. So what I've been having is every single thing I eat doesn't sit well. And I've never had that in my whole life. And I realize that there are certain things in some relationships that have my third chakra, which is about boundaries and the sense of personal power. And because some relationships seem out of whack, and I'm not quite sure exactly how to deal with what's been coming up, because it's new, you know, it's airy stuff, it's new stuff that I have to look at and deal with, my digestion is unsettled because my sense of personal power, my third chakra, is unsettled. And so I started taking steps to do that when I saw what was going on. But that energetic effect is very common in the sixth house, for any sixth house event, is to have your digestion affected. So, and that actually might be in common with a lot of us because the ruler, just to take a little intermezzo here, the ruler of Aries is in Virgo, which correlates with that sixth house, that idea of you know, affecting the minute processes of the body and understanding responsibility, and et cetera. And so a lot of us might act, and it's retrograde, so we're supposed to be rethinking responsibility. And you can go revisit that recording from a couple of months ago in my blog. There's and also on Facebook, it's posted there. Yeah, so that's the sixth house. The seventh house, it is about what's fair and how we approach harmony, fairness in our relationships. And so, you know, if this is all happening in your seventh house, it will look to you like something in a relationship is wrong. But what this is really saying is you have the invitation to take responsibility in a new way for your part in relationship. So boundaries are here. Aries in the seventh house, boundaries are huge with this. We tend to think that other people cross lines that we may or may not know exist, and therefore they have crossed our boundaries. Boundaries are really what we're available to experience. If you want the full story on this, there is a channel called, it's an hour, with Jehudi that I sell through my site. It's called Boundaries, and it's from a few months ago on the media, and then a media page, and you can scroll down to talks and the recorded channel and stuff. But the basic idea is that our relationships are reflections of what we're willing to experience. So if this Aries stuff is happening in your seventh, it's imperative that you take responsibility for your role in relationships and take proactive, instinctive, look at those two words together, proactive and instinctive action to help things right. To help things come into balance and get right. If it's, you know, lots of times, especially with the Uranian impulse to bust free at all costs and then Aries impulse to kind of feel like we have to defend ourselves or be aggressive, understand that there's a middle ground of honest assertion that comes through total and utter honesty and forthrightness. So if you find yourself if this is happening in Aries in your seventh, and you find yourself feeling constricted in a relationship where something is really unfair and part of you wants to rise up on your hind legs and fight it, just understand that it doesn't have to be a fight. for you to take absolute responsibility of what you're experiencing is the first step, because you have to withdraw blame from the other person. So if this is happening in your seventh, just kind of be aware of that. Now moving on to the eighth house, the eighth house is where we share things in deep ways with other people, traditionally said to be the house of sex, death, and other people's money. And these things do fit here, but what they have in common is a sense of honesty and where we are stripped of all pretense and people can truly see who we are. So if you're having this in Aries in your eighth house, you need to choose instinctively and allow instinctually freedom to be created within your intimate relationships. Essentially, if this is true, or if this is happening for you, there is something that somebody else doesn't know about you, and it really is leading you to suffer. And so you have to reveal a truth about yourself. Like, take the risk. Your stomach might be turned over in circles, you know, with like butterflies tied in knots, if you can combine those images or whatever. But that's the eighth house is what in your trusting relationships. You might also need to establish better boundaries in how you share finances with others or in anything else you share with others. But the bottom line is revealing who you really are and really letting yourself take responsibility for your role and how you're creating your relationships in that intimate way. And this might also have to do, just extending that paragraph, extending that into sexuality and how you open yourself to another. It could be that you might not even be in a relationship right now, but how you approach the thought of the other in an eighth house way might really define how your energy field vibrates. And so for you to take responsibility for ensuring that you're open to what you want to experience and to be a little warrior, you know, to be a little warrior about it, but to be clear that the other person and other people are not wrong for being who they are, but you have the choice to say yes, please, to what works to you and no thank you to what doesn't. Now moving on to the ninth house, this is the house of higher thought, higher education, long distance travel, foreigners, etc. Basically, it's about expansion and the expanding mind. And so if all this stuff in Aries is happening for you, you need to free yourself from limiting beliefs. Essentially, you fought yourself into corners and you've started to live that way. And say you're living in a place, standing in a room that's 200 square feet, and you haven't painted over 10 square feet of that floor. You feel limited. You can't expand. Possibility is not on your side. Like somebody might say to you, you don't know what's going to happen next. And part of you that's jaded might say, yes, yes, I do. And so all this Aries stuff happening in your ninth house, you need to free yourself from limiting beliefs and act on expansion. But to free yourself from what doesn't work in that way. In the 10th house, you know, the 10th house is thought to be about career, and really it's about the kind of person you are esteemed to be in public and the kind of person you like to be esteemed as in public. Sometimes there are two sides of one coin where you want to be liked and you're not, or the other way, you know, or something like this. But in the 10th house, it's who you are outside the home or in your community at work. So if this is happening for you, you need to free yourself from a conception of who you should be in public or whom other people see you to be or think you should be. And this this may be, if you have this in your 10th house, this may be a time for career change. It may be a time for a community change where suddenly you get rid of responsibility you never wanted, or suddenly you become willing to accept responsibility that you kind of might be able to do. But to be free in who you are and bold to be exactly who you are in public. You know, many of us take jobs and have them for as long as we do, and some of us, you know, have security ideas in mind, but we don't feel fulfilled. This is a very common modern manifestation of work and how the individual has fit into this structure. And it's imperative that you free yourself from all those ideas and shoulds about what you should be doing. Everybody has unique, individual, creative genius. And that is your natal. That is represented by your natal Uranus. In any sign, in any house, it represents your unique innate genius. So, if this is happening in your 10th house, your genius needs to make decisions about who you are in the world. In the 11th house, we take that 10th house thing one step further. It's not just who you are in the world, but it's kind of what you're doing out in the world. Where is all this headed? It's the house where we create the future, so it is about friends and groups, because we can't create the future we want by ourselves. So if this Uranus, Sun, Aries bit is happening in your 11th house, then you need to free yourself from some idea of where your life should be headed and actually check in with your instinct, with your gut, with your bones, your body, you know, your heart, and all of your like essential fiery elements within you energetically, and make some decisions about where all this is headed. Like I said, we can't create the future that we need, so we ally and align with others. So check that everybody that you're working with to create your kind of future, any groups, any friends, that make sure, check in with your third chakra about self-empowerment. Check in with your first chakra about your ability to be grounded and rooted, and do I feel able to be solidly rooted in this, you know, environment, in this energetic field that I'm standing within. And those also, by the way, are the two in the system I use with chakras, which I borrowed from evolutionary astrologer Jeff Green, where Mars plays prominently in the third and the first chakra. So in the 11th house, check in with your belly, with your digestion, about your stomach, about how things are going with the people you hang out with, and what you think your future looks like, and allow your instinctive self to make some you know, proactive, assertive, self-loving decisions. And then the 12th house, the last one, the 12th house is said to be about mysticism and whatever, prisons and asylums and institutions, things like this, and addictions and escapism. And the 12th house really is where a human seeks, consciously or unconsciously, to manifest something in the unseen realms in the physical realm. So, you know, the channeling that I do, I have Pluto and Venus in the 12th house natally, and the channeling that I do is an expression of that, those two planets there. And yet I also have the tendency to escape. And so, you know, we live these 12th house stories, and we're trying to figure out how to feel like I have an ego while I have all this other stuff going on and I'm aware of it. Now, if the Aries thing is happening in your 12th house, then it's important that you make some decisions about freeing yourself from the confines of your unconscious or subconscious, and also about the energies of the environment you're around. Now, in the 11th house, I said that in terms of the people you're working with or not working with. In the 12th house, it's about the energetic sense that you have of what's going on around you. This is a house where we're porous energetically and we absorb energy. So if this is happening there, you have to stand up and be a self-interested, compassionate, self-loving warrior to establish better boundaries where it comes to your like extra egoic self, say it that way. I like to say it that we try to figure out how to have an ego while we experience all these other unseen things that seem to negate the fact of an ego. You know, like as soon as I'm like comfortable with my ego, then suddenly I have these other beings here, dead people or beings I'm channeling or something like that. And so I have to understand how to be my unique self while bringing that in. So if you're having this Aries thing in your 12th house, it's time to free yourself from energies that are around you that don't work, or even just structures in your life that prevent you from being open to energies. So that's the tour of the houses with this. That was kind of a last-minute insertion that seemed like it would be really important to set up Jehudi's message. And now what we're going to do is take a moment, a few seconds, and let him start coming through, and then he's going to introduce himself and then talk about history and freeing yourself from it. And he's been with us the whole time, and he's always aware of what I'm up to, so he'll actually refer to some of the things I've been sharing with you the last half hour as he speaks. Okay, so just take one moment. And you can also close your eyes if you want and just kind of get out of the headspace a little bit, but you're open to listening, but please be in your body. The best way that I've found to do this is to send cords into the earth from my feet and my root chakra, and which is the first, or right around the anus, and you breathe energy of the earth up into your body till you feel it calming you and settling your thoughts a little bit, settling your body. So please just start that process while we begin the transition to bring in Jehudi. Hello, this is the Ascended Master Jehudi speaking, and as the the channel has indicated, I will ask that you have these cords into the earth for the duration of our call today. I wish that you have the experience, at least the opportunity, to have your awareness level temporarily tuned up by taking in what I'm offering you. If at any point during this message you do not wish to take it in, you're of course welcome not to. If anything seems untrue or contrived in any way, you're welcome to come out of that space of being very open to it. But I do invite you to take advantage of the opportunity, if it's at all possible for you, to open to receive this. By way of introduction, I will tell you about what I do and why I come through this particular individual channel that you have been listening to. What I do is, as an Ascended Master, it is simply a job title. It does not make me more special than anybody else, though when you write it out, you always capitalize it as though it's an honorific title. The fact is that I'm a soul just as you are, yet I have a particular intention that carries over through time. When I am a human, I'm not always aware of this divine intention that I carry to support humans in their evolution, and yet when I'm between lives, I always do. And my commitment to support the evolution of humanity as an observer and a mediator, a translator, and a teacher sometimes has me coming through channels such as the one you are listening to today in order to support people in evolving. The fact is that I support people in evolving no matter what they need. If you call on me, you will be able to develop an openness to receive information from me. The channel has actually attracted clients who have different relationships with me, and yet to speak with me directly in a certain way, they seek readings with him. But I'm available to everybody, anybody who is open to receiving this information. So as I said, anything that you need to support you in your evolution. Today, as we work on this theme of freeing yourself from history, the best thing that I can do is to offer you my perspective on what your history is, why you choose sometimes not to be free of it, and how you can do so now. As the channel had said, there is an amazing opportunity for you in this Earth's time, space, dimension to take advantage of the impulse to choose freedom because of the transit of the sun conjuncting the planet Uranus. And this does happen once a year, though of course not always in Aries. This year it is in Aries, just after this vernal or spring equinox and this new moon in Aries, this unique combination of events that is all made all the more important by the presence of Uranus in early Aries. And I want to speak about history. I want to begin with this question of, general question of who you think you are relative to these house placements that the channel has just explicated for you, such that if it is in your first house, it's about your relationship with your body. If it's in your fourth house, your emotions and your inner world, etc. Who you think you are has been shaped by experience. What humans tend to do is to interpret experience. Of course, you are rational, reasonable, reasoning beings, and the idea is that if something is wonderful, you seek to interpret the reasons it happened so that you can recreate it again later. And if something is terrible, or painful, or traumatic, you seek to understand the causes so that you may avoid repeating it in the future. Of course you do this. This is one of the most basic things about life on Earth, avoiding pain and seeking pleasure, or at least the absence of pain. So who do you think you are? Every single one of you listening to this call has a conception, has a palette of conceptions of self, a wide variety of available personas or sub-identities available to you that surface on a daily basis or occasionally, periodically. And they are shaped by your experiences in the past. Let's say that you were young and you were told that you were very bright. you developed a sub-persona about that, whether through from teachers or school. And subsequent experiences in your life have been interpreted through that lens. Let us say that at the level of sixth grade, you were told that you were very, very bright. And by the time you were in 10th grade, you were told that you had some problems in math. Well, this sub-personality that you're working with that has been told and believed that you are bright, and of course that is praise, which is love, so of course you wish to receive more of it later, may have a hard time reconciling the fact that you are not getting the wonderful grades and the praise and feedback, and in fact are getting invitations to have tutoring or something like this and a mere 4 years later. Now, then you can actually become a little soured as to the previous identity, because obviously it's not true. Or it is true, but all of these other people are making it hard for me. Something like this. So you can see how any sub-identity that you pick, even one that seems wonderful, which is opening the door to seeking praise for being bright, all of these things can lead to issues if you believe that they are true. Now, any human identity that is adopted, formed, and then adopted and accepted, every single one will turn out to be false, because you are not your experiences. You are not the sum of what has happened to you. You are not even any particular experience that you have had in your life. You are not when that person hurt you. You are not what happened to you following that accident or that illness. You are not what somebody told you when you were flying high and somebody rained on your parade, so to speak. And you are also not that particular relationship that you may have had in the past that was wonderful or terrible, or that you may be having now that may be wonderful or terrible. The fact is that you are a divine being. You are an energetic being, which is a portion of all that is. You are a portion of divine intelligence exploring what it means to be human. Each of you has temporarily forgotten. Said better, each of you has chosen to temporarily forget that you are creator consciousness. In recent decades on Earth, in metaphysical or New Age spiritual culture, you have had many manifestation teachings and abundance teachings which have attempted to teach you how to capitalize on this fact that you are the creator. And yet some of them definitely could be added to and improved by understanding how to understand the past that you carry with you now. It is not enough to assert that you are a divine creator, because what happens is that is a signal, that is a broadcast that you are signaling, and that is wonderful. That is exactly what you should be doing. And yet, if you are not schooled or feeling confident and grounded in dealing with parts of you that broadcast the opposite signals of, I don't deserve that, or somebody told me that I was not smart, or somebody told me that I was not lovable. As you broadcast multiple signals, the universe brings you mixed reactions. And you say, I'm intending, because I'm a divine being, an energetic being, the will of God, I'm stating divine law, and yet I keep manifesting this kind of relationship that doesn't work for me, or I keep finding myself in positions with, in workplaces or with bosses or with my neighbors or my spouse, and you are broadcasting conflicting signals. So the trick is to maintain the remembrance and develop faith in the fact that you are divine beings and that what you set out to create will happen, but you also must take care to clean up your history to deal with these personas. Relative to this conversation with the transiting sun conjunct transiting Uranus, as the channel Seth says, and I appreciate this imagery, the big giant flashlight in the sky turns its beam of light, the sun, transiting sun, on Uranus. Now, Uranus has already been in Aries for a number of months, and so you have had this feeling of, I need to free myself from something. I might not know what it is. The other thing with this Aries energy, as the channel has said, is that you don't think a lot when you are filled with Aries energy. You have the impulse to act. In some ways, this is anathema to who you think you are, because you have been conditioned into believing that you are linear, rational, logical minds. And yet you are entire beings. And this Uranus transit couldn't come at a better time for you to begin to free yourself by developing and trusting your individuality and your instinct. But now that the sun is here, this big giant flashlight in the sky is showing you what you still have been allowing to keep yourself from freedom. This phrasing is very specific, very particular and intentional, because it is not that it is time to be free. It is that it is time for you to recognize with clarity, with self-responsibility, self-compassion, that you have allowed yourself not to be free because you have chosen to invest in these identities from the past. Just take a moment and let that sit in. Let that sink in for a moment. And so, freeing yourself from history. Well, what is history? History is the narrative applied and attached to chosen events. Anything that you believe about yourself, any, we could say, story that you have developed and attached to identity, and that you have then lived through, it is not the whole story. Just as what you have read in your textbooks in your school classes is not possibly the whole story of what happened. The individuals, or the groups, or the people that win the battles have the power to write the textbooks. As this applies to your individual personality and your individual life and journey as a divine being, learning what it means to be human, the winners are those that speak the loudest and tend, in your cases, to carry the most judgment. Many of you are looking for reasons to feel bad about yourself. And the critic tends to win. So the critic is the one who has written the history. So, for example, this example of a sixth grader who is praised for being bright, but by the 10th grade has issues in one particular subject and perhaps has a problem with his or her identity surrounding being labeled bright when younger, and needing to feel that because that opens the door to praise, which is love. In the case of that young person, maybe that person grows up and has doubts about his or her intellectual ability later. Now, this person is not less bright. This person is not smart. This person is very bright and smart. And yet that identity has been developed. And what will happen over time is that certain avenues will be closed by that person by attitude and assumption and energetic belief that could be open to that person if the person were willing to believe in his or her intellectual abilities. Now that person is having Uranus in Aries conjuncting the sun, a big giant flashlight on what makes that person feel not free. This identity could be something that perpetuates a sense of not feeling free. So who do you think you are? Are you the sum of your experiences? Every single one of you has parts of you that does not understand the perspective that we're offering and would say, well, of course not. But then actually do it. Then actually define yourself in terms of those experiences. So Uranus in Aries, Sun conjunct Uranus in Aries, New Moon in Aries conjunct Uranus. All of these things, and the vernal equinox, the Sun entering Aries, not that far from Uranus. All of these things, this pressure building up to free yourself from who you think you are. The other thing to mention, which you can access in that free call from 2 months ago that the channel Seth has mentioned, is the ingress of Neptune to Pisces. He also offers an MP3 on his site if you're interested in this, which gives the full story. And that call may be 5 or 10 minutes, a very brief explanation. And the full story is in that other MP3. And you have the invitation to situate yourself as a divine being having a human experience. Now, there's a natural tension between Pisces and Aries. But as we look at this invitation of Neptune and Pisces to understand the truth of who you are, understand the truth of what's actually happening, to honor your sensitivity as an energetic being, to work on energetic boundaries so that you are not absorbing everything around you that may not work for you, but then also to be clear that what you surrender to needs to be intentionally set up and then moved toward with conscious intention. But then the tension of Aries is to act without thinking. So the invitation now, and now we combine this with the Neptune and Pisces statement, and it is that understand that you are a divine being, understand that you are absorbing energies, understand the effect of the mass consciousness, the scale is irrelevant. Though whatever environment in which you find yourself, you have the capability to absorb this energy. What is it that you want to absorb? What are you willing to experience? Expressing that in a proactive, loving, self-compassionate way is a divine law, is a statement of divine will. And yet Uranus and Aries says that you must free yourself from what doesn't work. So right now, this combination and these two signs next to each other, where there is a natural tension, because the signs next to each other have very different ways of doing things and very different ways of working and motivations. As you experience this, you are supposed to surrender to something in your life. You're supposed to surrender to a higher truth about who you are. And you are supposed to shake off the chains that bind you. I'd like to do one thing for one moment now, another minute or two, before I recede and the channel comes in to tie all this together and to send us all on our way. And as I want you to send cords down into the earth right now, make sure your eyes are closed, and cultivate a sense of calmness right now, which will engender receptivity. And what I want you to do is to set an intention for what you will free yourself from. Even if you do not know the specifics of the house placement, therefore the parts of life, as the channel mentioned on the first part of the call, if you're not sure where 0 to 4 Aries falls in your chart, you still have a sense of something under your skin, under the surface, from which you need to free yourself in order to remain sane. Please set the intention now to honor your right to be a unique individual, free of constraint, free of the past, free of limiting conceptions of self adopted through experience or through the reflection from others. Your power right now as a divine being rests a great deal in your willingness to generate from the inside out the statement, I am who I am. I love myself for being who I am. I honor my individual, unique, creative genius. Thank you for your time today. Please keep your eyes closed and the channel staff will come back and speak to you for a moment. Thank you. And so this is Tom again. And just kind of stay in this space. Stay in this new moon sort of space for a moment. And I want to give you some of the strategies that Yehudi works with and that I work with for freeing yourself from history. So given that you are not the sum of your experiences, and given that you are not your history, one of the greatest things to empower yourself now is to trust in your present moment feeling. Kind of the culmination of this whole entire conversation from the two of us, this whole set of information, is so that you can see that being present to what's actually happening for you is the key to moving forward. Naturally, we tend to be a little Saturnian, which is trying to slow down, keep the status quo, work within a paradigm or context of shoulds and things like this. When Uranus comes around and says, free yourself right now, we can cling to those identities and not be present. Well, my parents indicated that this is the kind of person I was. I didn't get the love I needed from friends when I needed them when I was in my 20s. So therefore, I might not be worth having friends. These identities from across time. Present tense reality is your greatest ally right now. What you're actually feeling in your body, in your field, what's actually unfolding within your consciousness, that is the remedy to freeing yourself from history. And then you get grounded, and feel free to go to my website on the right-hand column, I don't know, halfway down or something. You can download a free 13-minute MP3 meditation, which is for grounding and clearing out your field. I recommend you do this every day when you start it in the morning and at night for 3 or 4 or 5 weeks. And then you can do it just once a day, and then eventually every other day, every 3 days, something. But then you get comfortable with these steps of grounding into the earth, as I had asked you to do, or Jehudi did, one of us. Because when parts come up then and say, well, actually, somebody told me I wasn't smart, you can say, thanks for your input, recognizing this is an identity formed in the past, recognizing that it's a sub-personality that is not who you are. So I want to tell you a couple of things before we wrap up the call. And the first is that to support this, because I'm very interested in helping people figure out how to transition out of their histories, I'm also very interested in family dynamics and relationships. And I've been working for a while with helping clients understand why their souls picked their families. And the families, of course, are the greatest incubators and or crucibles for our karma, depending, usually a little of both. And so this conception of freeing yourself from history has an incredible amount to do with how our families shaped us. And yet the souls asked them to do that, and those souls of those family members agreed. So beginning April 7th, I'm offering a 4-week e-course for anybody all over the globe, as long as they can call a U.S. number for a conference call. And actually, I do have some international conference call numbers, too, for some countries, and contact me if you're somewhere else and want to talk about this. It's a 4-week e-course with me, Jehudi, your spirit guides, to help you understand the contracts that your soul has with your family members. It's incredible healing work, and it's one of the most potent things to do for freeing yourself from your history, because our souls choose these families again and again. And then we feel burdened by some of these relationships at times. And sometimes it's a lifetime of work to free ourselves from what our families reflected to us or would or wouldn't do for us or did do that seemed like they did to us, though of course it supports the soul's journey. So it's an incredible, amazing invitation for compassionate healing, acceptance, and I also do energy work with clients on the phone. And so anybody who takes that course will have the option of having me clear things out of your field across time and also integrating past life parts that may have unfinished business with particular family members. And also the last thing to say about the course is that as a medium, I also work with people's deceased family members. So it's kind of like a one-stop shopping for family healing, which, you know, whether it's past life, whether they're deceased, whatever it is. And also, if you want to understand more about your astrology chart and how this approach works, I factor that in as well. And it's four weeks, including channeled materials and individual sessions with me, Jehudi, and your guides. So check that out starting April 7th, though the schedule is flexible. That's just when the thing begins. And you can see more about that on my site. There's a link to a PDF on my homepage, or contact me too. And then the last thing is, anybody who's listening live on this call now, I'm going to give you a 2-for-1 deal on the Living in the Present Tense Natal Report. Each report is 20, but you're going to pay for one through PayPal or send me a check, and then you're going to send me your phone number you use to call in to this call, because I have a report, and then you'll send me two sets of birth data for yourself and then for somebody else as a gift. And the Living in the Present Tense report helps with some of the stuff we've been talking about today, because it shows you regarding Pluto, Chiron, Lilith, and Lucifer, certain wounding that has been perpetuated through attitudes. And it gives it's also a prep course. It's called a 2012 prep course. And it has questions at the end, so that you can see these parts of yourself that carry these identities. And you can kind of, as one client or one reader said, it really nails the defenses. And she was able to see parts of herself that defend against being present and try to maintain attitudes of woundedness from the past. So again, 2-for-1 on Living in the Present Tense. You'd pay for one and then send me two sets of birth data, and also you have the phone number you used to call in to this call today. So we're just about at 11. The final note, and you can also read more about my work and the rest of what I do at tdjacobs.com. And the last note is that in 20 minutes, in about 21 minutes from now, is this exact conjunction of Sun to Uranus. And while it's been building for a few days, and really the energy of it amped up for this new moon, the actual conjunction is the best time to assert your intentions for moving forward in a compassionate, freeing way. So whatever intention you set 10 minutes ago when we asked you in that meditative space to do that, feel free to spend the next 25 minutes after we hang up doing nothing but grounding into the earth, sending cords into the earth and breathing the energy of the earth up in your body, and then maintaining that intention, asserting that intention from your heart. So I hope this call has been useful. Thank you for joining me. Keep in touch and take advantage of the two-for-one thing on the report. And also, I hope to work with you in the Soul Healing Family e-course that starts on April 7th. And keep your eye out for future calls like this. You can sign up for my email list through my website, or you can follow the Facebook page at Tom Jacobs Astro, or TDJ Astro, sorry, on Facebook. All right. Thank you, and have a great weekend. Bye-bye.